Breaking news today on Seculo as Virginia files an emergency motion at the Supreme Court over voter rolls.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
And of course, throughout this week, of course, we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. We are 8 days away from Election Day. It is Monday. Again, we've got time to get people out to vote. Make sure you know if you're a state that allows early voting, how long can you early vote? If you've already voted, can you get others to the polls? Make more planning. Understand your laws. Understand the timing here. And this is the time that if you haven't done it yet, I'll tell you, this is my week. I know I have a doctor's appointment Wednesday, so I kind of built it around then to know, okay, these are my two options to go and early vote before getting to Wednesday. And then if for some reason those don't work, one more option on Wednesday and even another option on Thursday, which is the final day of early voting where we are. Marsha Blackburn, the U.S. Senator, is going to be joining us via Zoom next. Now, she's got insight, of course, into the entire campaign that's going on nationwide. She's someone very close to President Trump, but also is a conservative leader for the entire country, really, in the United States Senate, but happens to be one of our two great senators here in Tennessee. So I really want some insight from her as she's been traveling a state that's a pretty red state, to say the least, about the issues that are, of course, pointing out. We're going to talk about the dueling rallies, the fact that Beyonce, for the second time that Beyonce was teased, she didn't show up at the DNC the first time. Remember, it was Harris that ended up being the special guest, their new unelected nominee for president. But then at the Houston rally, which is all about abortion and women, they actually said, and I saw it on all the different news outlets, so this was definitely put out by Harris, and they didn't correct it if they knew that this was going to be the truth, which they would because they would have had to pay for different staging if she was actually going to perform. And they all said she was going to perform. It didn't say she was going to do a whole concert, but I think you were expecting at least a song or two if you were someone who waited to try and get into this big rally in Houston. Well, she didn't. She came out for 3 minutes and spoke, and people then started booing. She announced she was the one who invited Harris to the stage, and if you listen closely, about half of that crowd is booing. That is, again, Harris going to Houston, trying to rally a vote against, I think, Ted Cruz, I think, get national attention, and it kind of turned on her again. And then, of course, the president's rally in New York, it was gigantic. They tried to point out that there was a comedian making jokes that people didn't like, but that's kind of what comedians do. It was a very long rally and event with a lot of different speakers. I mean, so leading up to the president of the United States. By the end of it, I will tell you, the imagery to me looked like another, like a Republican convention. I mean, because you had people coming, I mean, in every possible place you could put them, probably as many people as you could get in the garden as possible, in every spot possible. I saw a number of our team members there, including Tulsi Gabbard, Rick Rennell, and the different locations that they were at different times of the rally. So I think that was interesting as well. We also have, of course, Virginia. They have filed their emergency motion at the U.S. Supreme Court. We are going to be filing as well tomorrow, so we will update you there. Remember, Virginia, they have 6,000-ish people that they would like to remove from their voter rolls who may be lawful residents in Virginia, but click that they are not citizens or check the box that they are not citizens. They want to make sure those people are clearly off the voter rolls so they don't get in trouble and so that their vote isn't tainted in Virginia. So they're going to try and bypass the Court of Appeals and go right to the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to be standing with Virginia on that. More tomorrow, but I do want to update you. That has been filed. And again, we are running out of time, so you've got to look at those options to be able to speed things up. So I understand why Virginia taking that step. We will take your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I think there is a fierce battle ahead for our nation. It could be leading up to Election Day, which we're now in that time period, and even after Election Day, that we've got to be ready for.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation. All right, welcome back to Seculo. This close to election, it is great to have one of our favorite U.S. senators, and of course we're blessed in Tennessee, where we're headquartered, to have two great U.S. senators. One of those is joining us now, and she's joining us regularly throughout the year, keeps us updated on the legislative fights, on new legislative fights and issues, and that is Marsha Blackburn, who is joining us now, is up for re-election in Tennessee this election cycle. And Senator Blackburn, first, let me go to Logan, actually, because his kids, my kids are a little younger,
yep,
but his kids, they love one of your ads. I mean, I think everybody does. We can probably all almost do it now on our own, but they love it.
Yeah, my kids are trying to break the china all over. Which has become, if you haven't seen it, by the way, for those who are watching, maybe who aren't within our state, this incredible ad where Senator Blackburn has china, has plates, but they also have the flag of China, and just smashing the plates. So I have to say, because my kids would be upset if I didn't, that ad is maybe getting the most play at our household. They love it. They're laughing. They're cheering. So congratulations on that one.
Thank you so much. And if your audience would like to see that ad, they can go to marshablackburn.com. We have it up on our website. And of course, the point of it is China has the Chinese Communist Party, and let's draw a distinction between the people of China and the Chinese Communist Party. They are spying on us. We all saw the spy balloon traipse across the country. They're using TikTok to spy on our kids and build a virtual you of them. They are sending spies into Confucius Institutes and Confucius classrooms. We know they have tried to buy U.S. farmland. I've led the fight against that. We know that they don't keep up their trade deals, and that affects our agricultural community. So we all know China is, they're intent on being globally dominant by the time we get to 2050. So it is going to be up to us to call them out. And of course, since I do this, I have been targeted by the Chinese Communist Party more than once. I've been called to the SCIF and told by the FBI that they have launched an adverse influence campaign against me. And they're doing it again during this election, putting out lies and distortions. And as you would expect it, the Democrats and the opponents pick those up and try to run with them.
Yeah, I mean, this is an issue, And that is an issue that's very serious. We've also been dealing with other candidates and organizations as well this cycle, more so than in the past, where we've had these, you know, gotten these FBI phone calls and saying, your website or this is about, so watch out, or this individual who works with you, they may have been targeted as well. And the skiffs, like you talk about, these secure room briefings. But I want to go back to this, Senator Blackburn, because you're getting to travel across a state that is, you know, you've got from West Tennessee to Middle Tennessee to East Tennessee. East Tennessee, of course, hit hard during the hurricane. I wanted to start there, too. Are people there in East Tennessee able to cast votes? Are we making sure that they're going to be casting votes in the coming days? I mean, I don't know how early voting went there, but are there going to be enough places for people to try and go if they are still being relocated or how they're handling that?
Yes, indeed. And our Secretary of State in Tennessee, and likewise in North Carolina and Georgia, they've all worked diligently to find a way for people to be able to cast those ballots. So people can check with their, check with their county mayor's office, and they will tell them what the process is for being able to vote. But there are locations and provisions that are being made. And we want to make certain everybody is out there ready to vote. Of course, in Tennessee, we want to keep our supermajorities in the state house and the state senate. We also want to make certain that I go back to the U.S. Senate and I ask for everyone's vote. We also want to make certain that nationwide, President Donald Trump not only wins the Electoral College, but he wins the popular vote. So everybody, go vote early. Early voting is going on in all of our states, so get out there.
Yeah, I wanted to say this to Senator Blackburn, too, because this is a message I've heard, and I've been across the country as well, speaking sometimes in battleground states, sometimes in states that are next to battleground presidential states, but you know, states that are going to get big turnout for Republican votes. And the message has gotten through, and I love seeing that loud and clear from speakers down to, you know, municipal leaders, up through state leaders and federal leaders as well, that we can't just say, well, we're going to get a good vote turnout and Donald Trump's going to win our state. No, we want to blow out the vote for people like Donald Trump, for people like Marsha Blackburn in our state, and make sure that we get every voter we can out, because we don't want the next battle, if Donald Trump is in office, you're back in the U.S. Senate, and the next battle becomes some shift to popular vote, whether that's blue states giving away their own electors and their own citizens' votes to say that whoever gets the popular vote will get all of our electoral college votes, or some bigger national movement where they will try to make it sound very bipartisan and friendly for everybody to shift towards a popular vote system. And the way that we could push back on that from even starting is by making this popular vote really close or winning it.
That is exactly why we want to win it. Let's make certain that we shut this off right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's key. Now, Tennessee, because of the base here, and I think that's what you were able to talk to, even getting to different parts of the state. But what are, like, going into this last week, what do you think the top issues are that people are concerned about, that they're still nervous about with the country? I mean, obviously, I think they're nervous about Harris becoming president, but also on the issues, too.
Yes, and we hear so much about the economy, inflation. Of course, when Donald Trump went into office, inflation was 1.4%. Today, it is 20.5%. Tennesseans are spending an extra $1,023 each month to buy the same basket of goods and services they were able to buy in 2020. And we know that inflation is just really crippling the family budgets. We also were hearing a lot about illegal immigration and having this massive number, 10.8 million illegal aliens, plus all of the known gotaways coming into the country. That is a population greater than 38 of our states. So the fentanyl that is coming in, the gangs that are coming in that are driving crime in our communities, that is a massive issue. And I hear about it every day from Tennesseans. We're also hearing a good bit about the human trafficking that is related to the border crisis, the sex trafficking that is taking place, and the fact that you've got over 300,000 unaccompanied alien children that the federal government now has placed with sponsors, but now they cannot find these children. And we hear about dealing with the axis of evil, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. And also we're hearing a good bit about keeping men out of women's sports.
Yeah, I can imagine all these issues seem to be issues that we hear about all the time here at the ACLJ. But, you know, and I think this week too, Senator Blackburn, I want you to be able to talk to people about this. It's probably the last question to you, but just a couple minutes left. Thank you for joining us by video. I think it's awesome. You did this final week of the campaign. Is that there are still people that we've launched, you know, election integrity efforts, legal assistance for people. We do at no cost, who are concerned that their vote's not going to get counted. And of course, they're listening from across the country. Some of that because of last election. Some of that just because of they just aren't sure if they trust when they go up to their places to vote. But what would you tell people right now? My idea has been to people is, utilize early voting. It's the same as if you go same day and make plans. And by the way, your vote, then you know your vote will get counted. Absentee is something different that you utilize if you got to. That is different. But what would you tell those voters who are still concerned about whether their votes are going to get counted?
I would tell them to go in person in the early vote. The early vote, as I said, is taking place in every state. So get out there, get that vote in early, and don't go by yourself. Take a neighbor, take a friend, take a colleague from work. But let's make certain that everybody takes the time to go vote. Let's push Donald Trump across that finish line. And as you say, win that vote, that popular vote, so we can stop this push the Democrats are doing, trying to do away with the Electoral College.
Senator Blackburn, as always, we appreciate it. I really do believe if we look back this year, I think you are the senator who's probably appeared most on our broadcast, and we thank you for that. Because even when it's tough votes coming up and you're in Washington or here in Tennessee, we appreciate it. Our entire national audience appreciates it. We look forward to working with you in this next Congress as well, hopefully with Donald Trump as president, so we can get a lot more work done. Thank you, Senator Blackburn, and for giving us this update on the state and nation. We appreciate that. Folks, we will take your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we're back on Secular. After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Definitely, if you're out in Tennessee, you know, get out for Marsha Blackburn. One, I mean, she always takes time to update our audience. Team does as well, to reach out to say, you know, not just when it's election time. She's not one of those people that you're just going to see around election time and then, you know, goodbye for a few years. No. To come on here to talk to us through the issues, both, you know, behind the scenes and when we get to the time when, you know, we're about to vote and the issues. And so I think, again, I like the way that her and her team take the election, even in Tennessee, which you could see, you know, statistically would be a very easy election for Marsha Blackburn and probably Donald Trump too. But when you run the ads and you get to the attention like that, you know what you do? You do get the numbers up. And those numbers then start not just being important in Tennessee, because it's always important to get a big vote when you're being sent to Washington, D.C. for another 6 years. And you want to, you know, make sure you've got that connection. But also, because we know what the next battle is if we win this election, which is going to be to try and undermine the Electoral College vote and take that away and then move to some kind of popular vote system that they're going to try to sell to you and your kids as a more democratic way of voting. But, you know, then you're in places like Tennessee, and unless you really continue to grow, most politicians at the national level, so presidential level, are going to be bypassing you and moving on to different states that have more potential votes. So I appreciate that. I do want to update everybody. We have some breaking news already out of Virginia. So we told you Virginia is filing an emergency appeal from the district court there to the U.S. Supreme Court on the 6,000 people on their voter rolls that also said while they are lawful residents inside Virginia, that they are not citizens. They thus are not voters. And the Virginia governor and government wanted to remove them from the voter rolls for two reasons. One, so they would not feel like they were get out the vote information, thus then violating the law, which would get them in trouble, even though they were lawfully here, not citizens, but lawfully here. And then second, so that we don't have more, you know, 6,000 people potentially questioning whether or not people were voting who were not citizens, especially when you're told. So they filed directly with the U.S. Supreme Court. We are filing tomorrow with the U.S. Supreme Court. And will the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court has already responded and has required the opposition to what the Commonwealth of Virginia is wanting to do. This is the Virginia Coalition for Immigrant Rights to actually file their brief in opposition by tomorrow at 3 p.m.
That's right. So the filing from the Commissioner of Elections, Virginia Commissioner of Elections, Susan Bales, was filed this morning. It was breaking news. We jumped on it. This is a case we have been following. It moved very quickly from district court to appeals court, and now it is being asked for an emergency stay at the Supreme Court. Because of Virginia's location, and it was the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals that heard it, these requests go to the Chief Justice. The Chief Justice was presented with this when it was filed this morning, and he has already ordered a response by the Chief Justice due by 3 p.m. Eastern Time on October 29th, so tomorrow. Sometimes this is one of the big clues you look for if the court is going to consider this, because if it gets docketed and just sits there, especially on an emergency appeal, then the court may not even be considering looking at it. But the Chief Justice has already ordered a response from the party, the Virginia Coalition for Immigrant Rights, tomorrow by 3 p.m. Eastern. We at the ACLJ are planning to file our amicus tomorrow as well to try to get that, our arguments on the record before the justices as soon as we can.
You know, I think that's awesome. We're going to keep you updated on that too. And I want everybody to know, if you want to contact us, and we're going to be launching this a little bit more like hardcore tomorrow, but I want you ready now. So if anything happened, and it's kind of like last week, I mean, when we were telling you, listen, if you've got an issue and you think it's something that it's a potentially legal question or that you might need an attorney representing you or helping you, go to aclj.org/election hotline. Okay, so we've set this up. It's a different page. I'm going to kick it off a lot harder tomorrow when we're 1 week out. But if you've had any issues, I just want you to know, again, aclj.org/election hotline. That's a great place to go. And if you got a question or, and I will tell you this, if you're hearing from someone else, try to get them or provide their information, because we can only represent people who the incidents actually happened to. So again, maybe you just need information. You're concerned about where do I go early vote, or you think that your vote wasn't counted, or that maybe something about, maybe you're volunteering and someone said to you, you're not allowed to give that out, you know, this close. We will, you know, if we need to do a quick review of the laws about how close can you get to the polling place in your state and your community, we can do things like that. So again, that's aclj.org/election hotline. Logan, I also, before we start going to phones, and we will do that the rest of the broadcast, we should tell people too about the new election prayer guide.
Yeah, that's right. We have a new prayer guide that is available through our website at aclj.org. Those are always free. You can go to aclj.org/pray2024. It's 2024. Again, we put up a lot of prayer guides. A lot of you download them. Hundreds of thousands of you have downloaded them over the years, over the last year or so. And this is a special edition that is an election prayer guide. Again, get your free copy today at aclj.org/pray2024.
And unlike the other prayer guides that are meant to be used over a quarter that are more lengthy, this is a specific edition that is just one page with key points to be praying for as the nation goes to the polls.
Over the next week, plus, depending on how it goes, but at least over the next week you can do that. We also have a brand new special. We talked about this back in April, and I'm excited to announce our new special will be premiering on October 31st, as we promised. We haven't talked about it since that day. We announced it at the end of April, but it is finished. It is complete. If you are one of the over 3,000 people who donated that day in the end of April to support this project that really is about regular people, incredible people who are doing God's work in the darkest of times and sometimes the darkest of situations, I encourage you to check your email soon, because you'll be getting a early advanced screener copy of that today, likely. You will have that probably by the end of the day. And then later on this week, again, October 31st, it will premiere for everyone on our social media channels, of course, on our YouTube channel, and that will be in the evening. We'll give you the exact information a little bit closer, but you make sure you're subscribed on YouTube right now. This special features some incredible stories, whether those stories from the ACLJ, whether it's people like Tulsi Gabbard, our friend Jonathan Isaac from the Orlando Magic. We have an incredible group of people who really break down what it means to kind of follow God's path, even when times feel very dark. Our team put together this incredible piece. I'm so proud of them for doing it.
3,000 donors who supported getting this piece, they're going to get the email today.
They get the email today with the link, and then your name will be in the credits as well.
And that link as well, as you had mentioned, Logan, back when we put this forward, it is shareable. So it isn't behind a paywall.
No.
When you get it, you can start giving it to your friends and family to watch. You can post it. You can get it out there, and then we will be premiering it later in this week. But it is a way that if you want to start getting that information out, you've got an inside ticket.
There you go. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We got a lot of calls coming in. We'll take as many as we can coming up in the next segments, because we've got a packed half hour coming up. Again, if you don't get us on your local station, you should be watching us anyway, whether that's on YouTube or Rumble or on our website, aclj.org. So if you're brand new here, which I know a lot of you are on YouTube, always with these numbers, when we know we have big days, we know about half of you have never seen us before. Never seen us before? Hit that subscribe button. We do this show each and every day from 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, folks, we need your support. We need your phone calls. We're going to answer a lot of questions. We've got one line open. We've got 30 minutes to get to those calls. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Support work the ACLJ. On election integrity, we are launching hard. ACLJ.org. Donate today.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to live in.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. There is breaking news. So the state of Virginia has asked the Supreme Court to hear their voter roll case. We've talked about this case before a number of times. We're filing in this case. 6,000 names, individuals who voluntarily, they were filling out forms. So it's forms they filled out, who are permanent, either lawful residents, permanent residents, not always permanent residents. But again, they would not be, they also marked that they're not citizens. So they're not eligible to vote in a presidential election or probably any elections in Virginia. But Virginia wants to make sure they're not on the voter rolls. You would think this is like common sense and that the Commonwealth of Virginia, the government could just do this and that's that. I mean, it was forms that these people submitted themselves. So not really any questions about was this partisan done or was this done because people felt intimidated? No, not at all. And this is just something that states are continuing to have to deal with because we know that there's a lot of people in these states that are there legally and they're illegally. So there's both. And then you also want to protect people who are there legally. And one way you protect them is by not walking them into a trap like voting, which then they've committed some kind of crime and could be expelled or lose what is not an easy status to get in the U.S. necessarily, which is resident status that allows you to be in the United States sometimes on a permanent basis. And usually those people are on a path to citizenship, but a something like this, like where if you voted in a presidential election and that was illegal to do so, could really cause problems. It may be the reason why you don't get to stay on a path to ultimately getting citizenship in the U.S. So what is the ACLJ doing? The ACLJ will also be filing. Now this is at the U.S. Supreme Court. And I want to tell you something that's always unique. The Chief Justice has already responded. And the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court has said, I want the brief from those opponents of the Commonwealth of Virginia who want to keep these people on the voter rolls. So this isn't just a long shot now at this point, Will, that Virginia threw out to the U.S. Supreme Court. They've already got the Chief Justice going to the opposition to the Commonwealth. We are preparing to file tomorrow as well.
That's right. And people may have a question about, like, what does it mean that these people are non-citizen and they self-identified? Well, it's on the first page of the brief, the emergency application for stay. They say that some of the individuals personally informed the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles that they are not citizens, and others presented non-citizen residency documents to the DMV, and then they were positively identified as non-citizens through the United States' own systematic alien verification for entitlements database. So, and once again, this doesn't necessarily mean that these are illegal immigrants. These are people that are in the country many times legally. They have residency documents, but they aren't able to vote under our system of government. They are not citizens. They don't have that right as an American. But they were getting documents, state documents that they are allowed to get. And that's where some of these like motor voter rolls and things of that can cause issues if the states aren't allowed to purge them as necessary when someone is saying, I am not a citizen, therefore I cannot vote. They should not be placed on the roll. Now, the other side is trying to argue, and I know the DOJ was involved in this case as well, that it is too close to the election for them to be purging these rolls. They've been doing this consistently throughout as new people are added to the rolls because of getting driver's licenses and things like that. Virginia is just continuing what they have been doing. And this is under a law that was signed into law by Governor Tim Kaine, who was Hillary Clinton's running mate back in 2016, senator from Virginia, former governor. This was a law passed by Democrats. This is not some Republican push in 2024 to make news around the election. This is just them trying to defend the sacred right to vote for American citizens.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's a lot to get into there. We're going to be updating you again on the ACLJ filing, update you on what happens next to the Supreme Court. But it's always good news for the Commonwealth, who had just filed this over the weekend, that they are already getting response from the Chief Justice asking for a response from their opponents by 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. This is one of the first major cases on election integrity to make it to the Supreme Court before Election Day. We'll be right back on Seculo.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our three-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation. Some phone calls, and I do thank people for holding on, but we try to get you up to as much as possible. When there is breaking news going on with legal news, like in Virginia and now with the U.S. Supreme Court, but let's get to some phone calls as well. And Will, every line is packed up.
That's right. Let's go to Mary calling on line three from Maryland. She's an ACLJ champion. Mary, you're on Seculo.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I did want to tell you folks that I just really believe in you so much, but I went out the other day on our little road. We have a dead-end road that has about 20, 25 people on it, and I had written up a note, which I left on the doors for people that weren't home, but the other people I actually talked to, and I asked them or told them that I didn't think there was any reason why they should believe what I say, because I'm not an authority, but I would suggest that they contact or get in on the radio, the TV, wherever, to on the computer, to get in touch with the ACLJ and listen to their broadcasts, because
that's awesome.
I have found them to be very accurate. They don't give their opinions about things without something to back it up. They just have the FICA information that they give out along with their own judgments, and also they don't just take someone's word for something and repeat it. They have their actual recordings, or they're there in person, and I just really trust them so much, and I've had wonderful responses from this, even from the other side.
Well, Mary, first of all, I appreciate you for being an ACLJ champion and being really at the core of allowing us to do the work that we do every single day. And, you know, getting that attention during election time, of course, but also that work that we do throughout the year when there isn't as much national attention on all of these issues that we're working on, that we know that you care about and that you make sure we have the resources ready, as I always say, at the ACLJ, so that I don't have to think, well, we are working with our attorneys and the legal team and overseeing that and saying, one thing we don't ever have to think of when we're deciding about a case and if we believe this is the case the ACLJ should take on 100%. I don't have to think at this time about the cost. And listen, that's the key. If I can always keep the ACLJ there, that really keeps us in an awesome space, because then my attorneys are focused purely on winning and purely on finding the right cases and clients so that we win, whether it's our First Amendment rights at stake, our freedom, our religious liberty, the life issue, international issues, domestic issues, policy issues as well, is that we don't have to sit back there and think, you know what, this case is going to be too expensive. Or because, you know, Virginia might file at the U.S. Supreme Court, and then we're filing at the U.S. Supreme Court in a day, and you know what, that's a little too much, and then what if we have to file something else with the U.S. Supreme Court within another 24 hours? I'm not worried about that, and that's because of people like Mary. Second, it's awesome that you're going from door to door and in your community and saying, you know what, don't take it from me. Here's a resource. If you're someone who needs to go find out information, you've still got questions about who you're going to vote for, what's going on between these two parties, go to the ACLJ. These are legal guys. They back up their info with facts, with the statistics, with the law. And I feel like, you know, while we like to be encouraging about fights, even some fights that can be more difficult than others, we're also very honest about when those fights are more likely to succeed and when they're more likely not to succeed. We're not the kind of show or host or people, because that's not what our organization is about, Logan, that come on and just tell you like, oh yeah, it looks like we're definitely going to win if you do this. I mean, that's not where we are. This election is all based off turnout. So I can say whatever party and whatever candidate turns out more people will win this election. We are past the issues part of this election. We are past probably anything they do even mattering too much. There could always be something, but this is not even in an October surprise territory. Too many votes have already been cast. What I want to see this week, personally, as Jordan Seculo, someone's worked on a lot of these, is that early vote number very high across the country, but especially in battleground states, because that tells me it is not just Democrats voting, and we know that based off location they're coming from. Some states that actually track the party vote.
Right.
But Logan, this is important for people to know why what Mary does is so key, is that we're not just here to pump you up for something that we can't pull off.
No, we've always said that. You know, the main difference between us and a lot of other shows and organizations for that matter is that we are honest with you. We give you everything. We are honest with you. We are not just going to make you happy and tell you what you want to hear. That's not what we do here. We don't create an echo chamber. It's even why most of our shows and everything we do and that special that's coming out, not behind a paywall. We want you to share it and to help you and help influence your friends. Let's go. We have a question about early voting. Royce is calling. Watched on the ACLJ app in Colorado. You're on the air.
Thanks. My wife and I are really concerned about voting early because they'll know how many votes they need to cheat so that they're able to defeat Donald Trump. Back in 16, everyone lied about voting for him. So they didn't know how many cheating votes they were going to have to put in. And they freaked. Now in 20, they were prepared for us. Is that what it's going to be this time?
No. I think that here, what they were prepared for and what they loved was that they saw Republicans going around the country, including Donald Trump, telling people not to vote early. And then they saw that even in the runoffs in Georgia. Remember that? We had a chance of at least keeping the Senate. President Trump was still fighting out, and they went down. They said, don't vote. I mean, they were literally telling people not to vote at one point. So you're not going to win any elections if you don't vote. And the early vote, I will tell you, I mean, I don't want to make anyone listening to this feel like right now that they've got this in the bag. We don't. Okay? Let me tell you something about the Democrats. The polls are looking better for us. The numbers are looking better for our side of the aisle right now. But it's Monday. We have, 8 days to go. It's a long time. They have hundreds of millions of more dollars than we do already in the bank. Can we raise more money this week? Sure. Will others raise more money this week? Yes. But who is going to have the most money to spend on the very final few days? It looks like the Democrats officially at least will. So are they going to be trying new strategies to get people out to vote that maybe calling him a Nazi didn't work and Nazi rallies didn't work so well, so we're going to shift to something else? Yes. Is Harris probably going to be a different kind of candidate this week once she comes out again? Yes. I mean, they're going to be doing different things. So don't think for a moment that this is over. Second, what I can do is tell you things that we know are true. Donald Trump is going to New Mexico on Thursday. New Mexico was not even close to a major battleground state until polls started coming out last week showing the early vote basically tied. And that's because we all know two things, Democrats and Republicans. We get more same-day, election-day voters and they get more early votes. So there are states, if they look at, where it is going to be nearly impossible for them to try and overcome the amount of Republican early voters with Democrat same-day voters. And I say all this to say this. If you don't want to have to worry about all those issues, get 10 extra friends out, okay, who share your beliefs, who are going to vote the way you vote. And then if we all do that, we're going to do it. We swap the vote. We're going to just, the vote's going to be huge. And we're going to know who's president. We're going to know who's won most of the races on, you know, election night plus give me, you know, a few hours into the next day, maybe midday, even mid morning, where most races, there might be some congressional and some Senate races that are still being counted. But for the most part, we're going to know the makeup of the Congress and who is going to be the next president of the United States. We can do that. We still have the ability to do that in these last 8 days.
Yep. Let's go ahead and take one more quick call before we go to a break. So a lot of you are going to want to call in 1-800-684-3110.
And we're going to take more calls the next segment,
3110. Too. Rod's calling real quick, Rob. Rod, on line five. You're on the air.
Yes. Harris is claiming that Trump will pass a federal law prohibiting abortion. And my question is, under the Dobbs decision, wouldn't any federal law prohibiting or requiring abortions be unconstitutional?
No. I think under Dobbs, though, they say it's like a prefer that they go back to the states and state legislators, that it doesn't take the Congress out, and nor does the court have the power to totally take the Congress out. So obviously, both Republicans and Democrats could legislate on this issue. I don't think it would always come down so much to Republican and Democrats either. But President Trump, this Harris claim, is not where President Trump has been. He's been pretty strong that this is about letting the states figure out where they want to be. He's taken some pushback, actually, from pro-life groups. But the Harris campaign is not going to tell you that. We will on this broadcast.
Yeah, you may not agree with it.
I will tell you that if I thought that a federal route was the right route, I'd probably tell you right now that that's what I think. But you know what? I haven't seen that so far. That hasn't been presented to me in a way that, one, is possible, and two, would not be destructive long-term to other pro-life efforts. So I just know this. President Trump is not proposing that right now. Some people supporting him are, and other people supporting him are against that. But the difference between him and Harris is pro-life voters and pro-life organizations and pro-life members of Congress and elected officials, they're not voting for Harris. They're voting for Donald Trump, and they're supporting Donald Trump vocally.
All right, we'll be right back on Seculo. Give us a call.
After nearly 50 years, Roe v. Wade, the tragic ruling that manufactured a so-called right to abortion, has been overturned by the United States Supreme Court. This is the moment the ACLJ has been fighting for. It's the biggest victory we've achieved in our 3-decade-long fight against the soulless abortion industry. And believe me, abortionists like Planned Parenthood are devastated. This victory would not have been possible without the steadfast prayer and support of ACLJ members like you. On behalf of the entire ACLJ, I thank you for standing with us against the abortion industry and helping us save defenseless babies. I thank you for making this victory possible. And I ask you for your continued prayer and support as we continue to battle against barbaric new abortion laws across our nation.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, and our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
So as we said, we're going to take more of your phone calls, and we will. We're 1-800-684-3110. Tomorrow, we will be even pushing this harder out. But I do think for those of you who are listening to the broadcast now, if you witness fraud or you need help, please reach out to us at aclj.org/election hotline. That's aclj.org/election hotline. Does not cost you a thing. Our lawyers stand ready to help you if your right to vote is attacked. So you check that out. And we will explain that even further tomorrow about the kind of cases ACLJ can assist with, and how we can get you to some assistance as well at aclj.org/election hotline. One thing I always underscore when it comes down to elections, anything it's about your voting or it's a story you heard, if you heard it from someone else, it is that person who should contact us, because we're dealing with about 8 days here. So if we contact you to figure out that, oh, we actually need to find someone else that you heard it from, and then we need to go to them, better if you can call them, talk to them, if there's someone you know, and get them to submit directly. So it's always the person that it's actually happened to. That's the person we can potentially represent as a client. So if you're just hearing about something, it's okay to contact us. But if you're hearing about something and you know the people that you think it happened to, that's even better. I do think this about the dueling events this weekend. I think people are going to be a lot more upset, and that's why you heard boos at the Harris rally, because a lot of people in Houston thought they were going to a Harris rally that was going to include a Beyonce concert, or at least a few songs by a major performer. And for the second time, Beyonce was used as a way to get eyeballs or people to an event. The first time was the Democrat convention. She never showed up, but they let it float. Her team, Harris, never shut it down. This time, her team was letting it go out that she would be performing. That was the word, Will.
That's right.
And they were unwilling to shut it down. And so when you're looking at the event at Madison Square Garden and the packed event for President Trump and the fact that people are there for 8-9 hours, I think, and the difference is that when Harris finally took the stage in Houston, they said about half the crowd, this is a normal press, not conservative press, half the crowd was booing and out the door because they feel like they were lied to about sitting there after Beyonce did show up and spoke for 3 minutes.
That's right, and especially at this time, typically rallies at the end, you're hearing the exact same speech, so many of these people that went in attendance to this have heard the speech that Vice President Harris was giving, maybe with the more colorful lines about fascism added in, because that was late to the scripting. But I feel like they used Beyonce as a bait and switch at the DNC to try to get TV eyeballs, to get people to tune in because a surprise guest was coming. And then the Harris campaign and DNC afterwards said, no, Vice President Harris was the special guest. And that was the first time they used Beyonce as this bait to get people to watch or attend. It happened then in Houston. Using celebrities to sing a song has been kind of the MO for this campaign to get their larger rallies that they've had, because without that, people aren't showing up. But so they get a celebrity, the celebrity sings a few songs, and then a lot of times you see people leaving for the exits because they've heard the political speech. Yeah. The difference with Madison Square Garden is that it was full. There were celebrity guests, but no one that was really like a big name draw that like, I've got to go to see this person.
President Trump, no.
And then I also saw reports that the police were saying there could have been as many as 75,000 people outside the venue that were waiting to see if they had a chance to get in because it was filled.
About anything, I am saying, of course, the left wants to call things racist. The speakers that used any of that, by the way, I just want to make clear. I'll say this one time. If anybody sees this out of context, there were comedians there because it was a 7+ hour event. That's kind of weird because the comedian's standing behind like a podium, so it's not like a normal a comedian who may come out even before an event because they weren't like able to walk across the stage and people may not even know who they are. But that's who the guy was. And when he did this, he basically, like most comedians, targeted everybody equally. Now, you're not going to see that on TV. You're going to see it brought up. This is when he said something about Puerto Rico. This is when he said something about Latinos. This is when he said something about Jews. This is when he said something about blacks. But if you see any comedians at all, this is what they do. And this is what America is about. That's why a lot of these podcasters / comedians that have become very popular in the world of not just conservative world, just popular right now, I mean, that are in the Joe Rogan kind of world categories, if they don't have freedom of speech, they're in big trouble because their shows would not pass by any of the leftist kind of, I would say, the those who would think that this is, oh, this is offensive and that you can't even tell jokes that are clearly supposed to be jokes and not supposed to be nasty. And did they fall into a trap? We'll see if this goes past the liberal media. If it doesn't, then you know what? That's just liberals talking to liberals about what they already think was happening at those rallies anyways.
Well, and I don't think that a comedian is going to be the deciding factor in this election, especially just 8 days out. But Logan and I, if you'll remember, we went to the RFK Jr. Night of Comedy here in Nashville, a very star-studded lineup of comedians. And we walked away from that and said, you know what? Maybe comedy isn't the right play for a campaign because it goes from being the safety of a comedy club where everyone knows you're trying to offend people, and that's the point, to being, this is, with all the branding of a campaign, it becomes, they're speaking for the campaign. And we walked out of that, like, that was the first time we've seen comedians like that in that setting for a campaign, and it probably isn't the right play. It's probably an unforced error, especially for a third-party candidate that was trying to seek support. It can be alienating. I don't think it moves the needle at this point, this late in the race, but it is a very it's a gamble for a campaign to put a comedian up on stage. But let's take a phone call before we get to the end of the show. Martin's been holding on line one from North Carolina. Martin, you're on Seculo.
Hi, guys. Great job you're doing. But I'm one of those people that believes in voter integrity. Sure. But the only way we can do that is with having information out to people, good information. On Friday, I saw two videos from Pennsylvania and Colorado where there has been about 2,500 in Pennsylvania of fraudulent voter registration sent in. And I was wondering if there is some sort of legal instrument, a FOIA or something else, to get the information of the person or person's citizenship status and party affiliation so we know what direction this is coming from and have the information to know and not be pointing fingers.
I would say be very careful about anything you're saying that says these votes are all, we know that these 25, these numbers are fake this close to the election, but also with just early voting and in states that, again, are not necessarily the most friendly. I see you're pointing out North Carolina and Colorado, but I will say, yeah, go ahead, Will.
But I will say, Martin, this is something we will get to our attorneys as well, because this is from NPR. Pennsylvania County halts hundreds of potentially fraudulent voter registration forms. It's approximately 2,500 voter registration applications in two batches. It's something that we can look at, but it does seem that the election board is doing the right thing.
Yeah, we want to make sure that they remain, if they should remain halted, that they do. And what does the fraudulent mean? Was it somebody that filled out wrong paperwork? Was it the way they were turned in? We always want to get all the facts, right? And we still have time. Now, as it gets closer to Election Day, you want to just be able to jump right into these situations. So I get it that you're going to hear things. Always then contact us. Put it on our record, too, so our attorneys can take a look. So I'm glad you called in. ACLJ.org/election hotline. For those of you who are prayer warriors, check out ACLJ.org/pray2024 for this special election prayer guide just for these next 8 days. Again, ACLJ.org/pray2024.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. ACLJ.org.